What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Krista Salams, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
What's up? Good to be back. Happy early holidays. I feel like this might be the last one before Christmas, since, well, I guess you never know what happens next week, but it is definitely the last one before Christmas, though.
It 100% is.
Happy Hanukkah.
Merry early Christmas to everyone. Happy Hanukkah to the Jewish people who listen to this show. Happy Kwanzaa to anyone who celebrates Kwanzaa. That's right around this time. I don't think any Islamic holidays are around this time of year, so I'll refrain from that. But if I'm wrong, let me know, because I might just be forgetting. And if I do forget, my apologies. But I'm pretty sure those are the three holidays right around this time. But
About right.
We are back. We're feeling jolly and holly with Christmas right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a lot of hockey games happen, a lot of just good things happening for both, or at least one team. I presume both teams, but I'll let Kevin divulge into that a little bit more. But
for a lot of us,
it's been good. It's been, you know what? First things first, I'll get this out of the way because it's low on the note. It's low on the notes right now, but I'm calling it about, what is this? We're exactly three weeks away from the deadline I set myself a couple podcasts ago. I'm officially calling it now. The panic is off. We are postponing that until further notice.
Okay.
It's definitely not going to be happening anytime soon.
That's good.
That's mainly because the Rangers are on a fucking heater. Straight wins for them. First thing I did this morning when I woke up was immediately start listening to Chicklets, because I knew they were going to probably mention it. And one host, he's still a Rangers hater, and that's fine. That's fine. AHL plug, so that's fine. But a former first round pick, fifth overall. You know, he still doesn't like the team, but he at least said, you know what? I had Rangers and their fans a few weeks back, and now they're owning me. They're just all over me right now. Which
you gotta own it sometimes. You gotta own it.
He's being a man of honor. He's at least owning up to the fact that he had a hot take. And since the hot take, he has made the Rangers better and another team worse. And that other team is the Linsanity of this league right now,
New Jersey Devils. We called that.
You fucking predicted this.
It's not out of the – we're not out of the woods yet. You know, the Devils have a long way to go before falling to the pits of the Atlantic or the Eastern Conference, as they normally do. But we said it would start with the loss to the Islanders and the Rangers. And look what's happening.
I mean, yeah, that is what kickstarted it. They beat Chicago, and then they beat Philly, and then they had to come into New York and Long Island.
Frauds.
And they were bullied, and they haven't. I
think we talked about this already. Actually,
we started it last week, but like I don't think they've won a game. I think they were on at least a 5-game losing streak last time I checked. But what we did mention last week is that they went on a 13-game win streak, and now Carolina has tied them in points.
They've the lost Rangers five are only in three. Their- losing, sorry to cut you off, they're losing tonight as well.
Yeah, so I mean, like, as great as that win streak is, you can't follow a 13 game win streak with a potential six game losing streak, because we mentioned this briefly last week, they had this huge point lead, like they were far and away winning, had first place on lock for at least a month or two, like deep into the season before teams start going on streaks and whatnot. Like they had a firm hold on first. It was going to take a lot for teams to catch up. Carolina is tied with them in points. The Rangers are right behind them. That's 3 points separating them. Pittsburgh is a 4-point separation. The Islanders are six, and Washington is also six. So it's like, again, top six in the Metro, what separates first from sixth is only 6 points. You know, Philly and Columbus are essentially out of it right now. They stink out loud, but
they're terrible.
I mean, we predicted it. And if I'm a Devils
massive fan, brains.
If I'm a Devils fan, I blame Chicklets. I blame the Brat Pack.
Brat Pack.
Calling him out, blaming him. Also, he just had like such a bad take the other night, and I wanted to send it to you, but I was just like, it's not even worth me giving worth the time. The time of day.
Nope.
I'm like, it's just a bad like take, like, because again, I don't know if you followed this account, but he quote tweeted some account essentially saying like Rangers fans hate when I like talk about their players, but here they are talking about their player having like a max season of like 31 points. And I'm like, yeah, like that, like that's the whole point. Fan bases are going to pump up the guys who are potentially going to have career years in their young careers. You're not a part of the fan base. So obviously, yes, you don't care, but like the whole point is like, you just talk shit. You just talk out of your ass. And people go at you for it. Like, obviously, especially in the NHL. I mean, the NHL is a very, if you're a fan of a team, it's a rabid fan base. I mean, you run into some just brutal fans, and that's why the Chicklet guys don't like the Rangers, because I think that, I'm sorry, I got lost in my point because the Rangers hit another post, and I saw a stat on what is today, Tuesday, on Sunday. The Rangers, I think, were at that time leading the league in posts hit. I think they're still first or second in the league in the amount of post hits. I think they're at like 34 or 35 this year.
It's just not very clinical. I feel like they're always up there in that stat. They always seem to have a lot of posts, but maybe I'm just wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the numbers look like year to year, but they're definitely up there this year. But enough about, you know, the Devils and everything. The Rangers, like I said, they're on a 6 or 7 game heater right now. Just absolutely tearing it up. Since we last recorded, when did we record last? Wednesday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
They went on to beat Toronto 3-1. Commanding victory. Jimmy Vesey, revenge game, 2 goals for him.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, revenge game against half the league at this point.
Pretty much. What's funny about that was I saw on Twitter, and Jimmy Vesey liked the tweet from this account, but it was like a Toronto, it was like I think a Leafs fan account, and they were like, if Jimmy Vesey scores tonight, the Leafs will lose.
Yeah,
I blame myself for the loss. When he scored, he just went whelp. And then when they, I think Vesey had like an empty netter, he's like, yeah, this one's just on me, guys. I'm sorry.
Pretty much.
And then, I mean, like, again, the Rangers played 2 just really awful teams, but they had 2 commanding victories a couple days after that, a back-to-back, both away games, 6-3 against Philly. And that was, I think, the game that Hayes got benched.
I see they're looking at a potential buyout this summer, which is interesting.
That'd be very interesting. And I think Whitney said it on Chicklets today, and I think history backs the claim up, but Torts, it just seems like every team he's on, he eventually just picks a guy who's bigger, not physical, makes a lot of money, and that's like the guy where he's like, I don't like you. And Hayes was his guy, like, and as soon as he came into the team, everyone was saying like, Hayes is going to be the guy that like Torts just does not like, and that's been the case. And you know, I talking about buying like the guy who has the most points in your team right now, he's not as well-rounded of a player as like Konechny is, both offensively and defensively, but like, again, he leads your team in points. I think he has a letter on his jersey. You spent a lot of money on him not even 2 years ago, and you convinced yourselves to sign Tony D'Angelo and not be in the running for Johnny Gaudreau. So all is definitely not going well, but a commanding victory on Saturday there. And then they played Chicago on Sunday. Last time they played Chicago, 5-2 loss. That was the helmet game. That was the Anton Seau hit game where he came out against Trouba after the game and
said, like, the game where we talked about the panicking. I think that was
right where like the panic talk started. Rangers won a 6-game win streak, and I mean, they beat the brakes off of Chicago. It was never close,
as you probably should.
As you should, yeah, 100%. First loss was despicable, but you made up for it. 7-1 victory, and those seven goals came from seven different goal scorers. So you had Hedl, Panarin, Kako, Trouba, Trocheck, Kravtsov, and Brodzinski all got a goal that game. I mean, Johnny fucking Brodzinski got a goal. Fold the franchise.
For that, I mean, that's terrible.
that's just absolute brutal. And I mean, all time chirp. It was Merrick talked about it. I shared it with you. I was laughing at it a lot when it happened on Sunday. But when Trouba scored, you know, Anton Seah was on the ice and he's chirping. He's screaming at him, "Hey, you want the puck? You want the puck?" Just a funny move.
I hate that it was a good.
it's like an opposing fan. He's a
terrible player, and I don't like him. And it was funny, so I.
Like, it was just like one of those like chirps you hear. You're like, that you see, this is creative. Yeah. Very creative.
The fact that he scored, number one, the fact that he scored, and B, the fact that Athanasiu was on the ice. It's like what's the percentage odds of that? Very slim.
It's just a slim, you know, it was just a chance that it happened, and it did. And it was great. Loved by everyone. Everyone was talking about it. But yeah, all is going well in Rangers land right now. Currently watching Rangers Penguins. Rangers are up 1-0. They scored a quick one, 22 seconds in. Deflection goal for Vinny Trocheck. It was weird. Kreider just kind of put a shot on net, and like Trocheck wasn't even that close to the net, but it was a deflection off his stick. And it just went high at like Jari's neck, shoulder, his left neck and like shoulder area. He could not deflect. It actually hit his pad, his shoulder pad, before it went in. But just a brutal way to start the game.
Before I
throw it over to you to find out all about the Islanders and what they've been up to since last week, just a quick little update to my hate list.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while. I haven't been updating it as much as I probably would like to, but I've also just kind of been very in a happy place. There's not been much hate in my heart. But a quick little recap.
This is Jake Gensel's holiday Christmas spirit of you. It's very Scrooge vibes.
I'm just doing my part. So yeah, again, I'll read the entire list from start to finish. Jake Gensel, rat fuck. Libor Hayek won't go away. Tom Wilson, probably a nice guy, but the most vile hockey player possibly of all time. Hornquist was on the Pens team during the back-to-back run, and I just didn't like him then. Paul Stastny cost me money one time. Evan Rodriguez, scumbag, wow. Rat fuck. And you can vouch for that one.
Yeah, he's kind of speared Matt Barzal in a sensitive area last night, so I don't think anybody appreciated that. So he got some minus points in my book.
Dancing Larry is self-explanatory in the newest addition to the hate list.
Oh man, can I try to guess? I'm trying to think.
Please do.
Like Eastern Conference.
It is the Eastern Conference. I'll even give you a hint. It is the Metro. It birthed from this game, and it's not a player.
This game itself. Oh, is it? Is it really? Is it who I think it is?
It's not a player.
Go for it.
It's the Pens goal horn, or that air horn thing that they do. No. Mike Sullivan's a legend.
That's why I was confused.
It's that fucking horn, dude. I forgot about it because I haven't heard it since what, May, June. I turned the game on and it's one of the first things I hear, and I immediately almost threw up in my mouth. I was like, ugh. I forgot how annoying that thing is. If you're a fan of this team, I hate you solely because you like that thing. It's just disgusting. It's like, bwah, bwah, bwah. Ugh. Just nothing about it that's good. Fuck that air horn. I like to tweet. I don't have it pulled up right now, but someone found out who created the air horn and said, fuck that guy. Wholeheartedly agree. Fuck that guy. But yeah, air horn, it's just infuriating. It just makes my skin crawl, my blood boil. It's the worst.
You just hate Pittsburgh. You just hate Pittsburgh. Everything about it.
A lot of my hate comes from that Pens team. And it all stemmed from like when I first started watching that, just the back to back. I have animosity towards them because I really wanted to see Ottawa win the cup that year. Nashville probably should have won that series. There's just so many players that just were on that team and still are on that team. And it was like, ugh, who cares? I'm eventually, you know, I want them to have a great season. I want everyone to have a good time, because I'm not going to say any bad things about them, because I have the last couple of years, and their demise has not happened yet. So I'm going with the opposite. I'm going with the opposite now, and I'm just going to say good things about them.
Yeah, maybe for nice Pittsburgh, they will. Then again, I kind of want Pittsburgh to make the playoffs, because the Islanders always beat them. So it's kind of a lose-lose.
I mean, that would be a delight to watch an Islanders-Pens playoff series. Pens our first round exit again.
Always happens.
For like the fifth year in a row or something.
The Islanders beat them twice, and the Rangers beat them fourth or fifth, something like that.
It's like they have not made it out of the first round in a while. It would just be, yeah, because did they get out of the play-in round? Because I don't think they did. Because I think they were in that lottery.
They were in that lottery.
they got like the 15th pick or something. People were
talking about how he was like Crosby 2.0, blah, 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 this stuff.
Yeah. So, kind of crazy. It's been a few years for them, but yeah, hopefully just good things keep happening to them. Go Pittsburgh, go.
Well, somebody clip that.
Oh my God. Imagine.
If that gets clipped and that's my legacy, I'm retiring.
Go Pittsburgh, go. Yeah, you kind of got retired for that one. But yeah, all is good in Rangerland, man. I mean, seven in a row. There's people saying they're not legit. There's people saying that they are legit. Depends what fancy stat person you ask. It's all a sham. They're winning seven in a row, and that's what counts.
They're winning when it matters. They're getting much-needed points. And I'll be the first one to admit that last year, and I don't think I was ever someone who said they were going to repeat last year. I think as soon as the season ended, we kind of said, like, this was an anomaly of a season. Everything kind of just jump-started. And I think they made a lot of good moves in the offseason. You know, obviously it was not the start that they wanted, and they definitely went on some skids, but I think they're finally starting to find their game. And I think just everything's starting to connect. They got their mojo back.
Got the swagger back.
Just very happy with where this team is at right now. That was a terrible giveaway by Panarin. But
nice. Love that
over
for
to you.
You. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Islanders, really. You can't make them up. They're on their little desert road trip. I say that because who's Colorado? It's kind of desert vibes. Not really. It's more mountains, but I'm going to call it the desert road trip.
Arizona, Vegas, Colorado. You get 3 out of 4 points from Colorado and Vegas, and then you lose in regulation to Arizona. So make of all of this voodoo what you will. 5-4 loss to Arizona. I don't know if you saw the clip. Just game-winning goal was an absolute rocket off of Romanov's sensitive area, I would say. I don't know if you saw that, but he just got absolutely clapped in the nether region, and it went right into the goal. The puck was going about 12 feet wide, and Keller just banked it right off of him. So unfortunate. I mean, you can't be up 2-0 on the Arizona Coyotes and then lose after the first period. It doesn't really work like that. So that was a little bit unfortunate. But then you bounce back next night with a big win over Vegas. You're up 3-1 after 2. Then it was 3-2, and then you make it 5-2. Varlamov left the game late with like 2 minutes left, and Sorokin came in, faced like one shot, and called it a day. But very weird. Varlamov's on it. He's out for a few days, but Schneider's up, so don't really know what to make of that, which is it was a bit more concerning because Sorokin was playing so bad before last night, but I think hopefully he's back on track now. But big win in Vegas. Simon Holmstrom with a big goal. You love to see that. My boy, he's so good. I think I said a last podcast about, or maybe I tweeted it. I don't know. You need players like that. If they replace replace Bailey with Holmstrom, save $5 million with that ELC. They're the same exact player, except Holmstrom stronger with better instincts. So it's how you win, and you could put the money elsewhere, but I'm sure it's not that simple. So it was good to see him get his first goal.
I don't think you mentioned that on pod, but I do remember seeing a tweet of that.
Yes, so. I did tweet that. Yeah,
there is the history. That is a Kevin Koff statement, but it was not verbal or not audio. It was via
the Bird app. That's how you win in the NHL, man. It's just you got to get ELCs and you got to get production out of the ELCs. Same thing with the Rangers with Kako and Lafreniere, man. You got to. Lafreniere, whatever you want to say, but like
it's like a kind of thing in like everything. It's kind of something even like a team surprisingly we both root for, the New York Jets. They have a lot of great players that are young on rookie contracts right now. And I don't want to specifically say they're in the win now mode, but they kind of are in a win now mode because those guys are all studs and they're going to ask for huge paychecks and you're going to probably lose spending money for other positions. So you kind of have to win while these guys are young. Just so you can get it out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. I just wish that they would replace Bailey with Holmstrom, and you can probably replace Beauvillier and his $3-4 million. I forget what exact cap it is. It might be four. Replace him with like Ratu or even Fashing at this point. Like,
is he someone you see the Islanders maybe not trading at the deadline, but trading in the offseason?
I think so, and I probably hope so at this point. He just has not had it this year. I don't know what it is. The last few years have just been really rough. He hasn't gotten any better. It's just he is who he is. He's fast. He can kill penalties sometimes if he needs to. He's got a decent shot. He's just so inconsistent. And I just don't think now that Barzal is signed long term, you can kind of have him locked in. You can probably say, hey, I know he's like one of your best friends, but we kind of got to move on from Beauvillier at this point. And I don't even know how good friends they are, to be fair, but everybody has said they've been friends for a long time, but it's time to move on. I think I like him. I have nothing against him. He's just so inconsistent and he disappears for 3/4 of the season and it's just unacceptable. But regardless, Isles got that dub in Vegas and then went on to have a nice 0-0 game until the shootout last night. Very exciting against noted Islander killer Alexander Georgiev. The guy always beats us. It's ridiculous. But he gets a shutout. Sorokin gets a 46-save shutout. And then the shootout was literally it was a few shooters. I don't know why this app is screwing up. But Evan Rodriguez, of course, scored a nasty goal in the shootout. Holmstrom hits the post. Barzal and Beauvillier. Ooh, there you go. Make two. Well, Barzal made a bad move in tight, and Beauvillier would have just lost the puck to the corner. So that should just about sum up Beauvillier's season, actually, now that you mention it. So tough one there. I don't know why they don't put Nelson in the shootout, but hey, it was good to see Sorokin get a 46-save shutout. If they were just won that Arizona game, you pick up 5 out of 6 in the desert. But of course, you have to lose. I mean, you win against the two of the toughest teams in the league. And I know Colorado is injured right now, but still had McCarr, still had Rantanen, who's got, by the way, Rantanen has like 21 goals in 30 games this year.
Yeah, he's got 35 points in 29 games. Fucking insane.
Casual without his McKinnon centering him. And, you know, they're still a good team. So a bit frustrating to get that much production in those two settings and then not get it in Arizona. But hockey is voodoo, man, and I don't know what to make of it. But just one more thing I wanted to bring up was I sent this to you earlier today. It's from ESPN Stats Info, and it says, with his shutout versus the Avalanche on Monday, Ilya Sorokin now has 13 career shutouts and 94 career starts. A whopping 13.8% of his career starts have ended in a shutout, which is the highest rate of anybody to debut in the NHL's modern era with a minimum of 90 starts, which is pretty sick. I mean, I get a lot of it is probably system-based, maybe not this year, but years past, you know, with the Trotz era and such, but still pretty sick that he's the first guy to do it, or he's the best to do it entering the NHL in that span.
Yeah, it's a nice little stat. And just kind of going back to the point you made about trading away Beauvillier, being friends with Barzal, coming from a team that develops a lot of bromances, it stings as a fan for a little bit when you see one half of the bromance get sent off, but you get over it pretty quickly.
You gotta do it. Yeah.
Just brace yourself for it. If it happens, it's going to burn. It's going to sting, but you'll come out stronger because of it.
Yeah. Beauvillier, I wouldn't sting too much about it. It's a shame because he had a lot of good moments and He had the game six goal, especially against the Lightning.
16-game player, man.
He really is a 16-game player. It's a great way to put it. He's a playoff performer, but, you know, he just doesn't provide the juice for his contract in the regular season, and I'm kind of curious about what his contract is now, so let me look it up. If I could spell it correctly as I'm trying to spell on the fly here. There we go. I forgot a V. Or I didn't forget a V. I missed a V. Let's see. His contract. He signed a 3-year deal a couple years ago, so he's got one more year after this before he's a UFA. He's making 4.15. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money for Beauvillier. So, you know, I could see a contender maybe taking a flyer on him. Like a mid-range contender. Maybe not a team up on the cap like the Lightning or Vegas. But if I go to the standings here, who's to say a team like Detroit? You know, you want to fill out your middle six a little bit more. You want to try to make that playoff push. I could see them being a team that says, hey, you know, we'll take a Beauvillier. Maybe a Boston would want him.
Colorado always seems to have money.
Colorado. They're
still injury-ridden.
Yeah.
A little depth wouldn't hurt.
Edmonton, I could see maybe. I mean, there's going to be a market, I think. I mean, he makes too much money for sure. And Lou said the other day, Lamoureux was like, or he didn't say it, sorry. It was in Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts column. He was like, one of the GMs basically said, it was like, everybody wants to make moves, but the money makes it literally impossible.
Which I really, yeah,
everybody don't get, but whatever. I'm stupid and they're NHL GMs. So there's probably, I would hope there's a market over the summer. It's not going to happen, I don't think, at the deadline, especially while the Isles try to make the playoffs. But I feel like 4.1 is a lot, but maybe somebody takes a flyer on him. He's 24. It's not bad.
He's only 24.
Yeah, sorry, he's 25. So you get him for his year 26 season, you know, 4.15, one more year, and then you decide what to want to do with him. So, I mean,
I think it's possible. I think maybe you see the end of Bailey too. Don't know what that would take, but you got to move some money somehow, and $9 million would be a lot to work with, and it would be very, very nice. I will say that.
And, you know, you hope and pray for that big extension in the offseason. You get like, what, 11, 12, 13 to work with at that point if it goes up,
yeah,
3-4 million. Yeah, so,
that's true. That's nice.
You
know,
then you can make a lot of moves.
Yeah, because I'm curious. I don't think the Islanders have any major contracts coming up. Let me see. We're just going down the cap rabbit hole right now. Because the Islanders always need money, you know. They're a contending team, so you have to find a way to make money. Oh my God, Bailey. So next year, the bright side is, even if you can't move Bailey, it's his last year. So that's a big plus. Let's see. You got to sign Wahlstrom, who's really, man, he's been quiet. He hasn't done anything. He's probably going to have a cheap bridge deal. Parise shouldn't come in at much again anymore. The really only big money you have to, and you're losing Varlamov's $5 million too, probably to get a downgrade, either with Varlamov's salary or get a cheaper backup. But the only real big money move is going to be Mayfield, who absolutely deserves a raise from his $1.4 million. What a steal that is. But he probably gets a raise to probably, I'm going to guess, like 3.5, maybe even 4, depending on his market. But that's about it. So it'd be nice to get some money to play with. But much easier said than done to move Beauvillier and Bailey for a combined $9.15 million, I feel like, than we're making it to be. So, yeah, that's the state of the Islanders. Don't really know what to make of them, but I think we'll see how these next few weeks go. And the big game coming up on Thursday.
Last time of the year.
Which is crazy. My dad was texting me about that game because he potentially like wanted to go. He was like, yeah, tickets are way too expensive for a game at the Garden. I'm like, yeah, it's probably also because it's their last. Oh, God damn it, Malkin.
Did he score?
Absolute rocket on the power play. 1-1. I mean, like, definitely because it's the Garden, that's why it's probably a little more pricey. It's a big rivalry game, and it's the last time they play a Sierra. He's like, why is it the last time they play? I'm like, I don't know. Schedule makers are just weird like that. Yep. They just don't seem to care about like a very like reignited rivalry.
I think it never went away.
It didn't go away, but like it definitely has more juice now.
It's always been pretty good. Even when the Islanders sucked, it was always pretty good.
I'm sure it's different because you kind of came in when the Rangers kind of stunk. But
I'm just saying, like, yeah, like in terms of just like both teams have pretty.
It's rare that both teams are good.
Like both teams have like pretty stacked rosters. Even though I don't think the series has been split. I think the Islanders have won both games this year.
I forget what happened in the first one. I think the Islanders won because we were going to record and then it was too late. And then we decided to skip the week. And then we know what happened the next game with the big comeback, but we'll see what happens this time. It's a big game. I mean, in terms of points in the standings, it's a 4-point swing and both teams are fighting for a wild card divisional spot. It's huge.
Yeah. The big comeback was an Islanders win. And then, Rangers are 0-2 against the Islanders this year, 3-0 loss and a 4-3 loss. So, not really a rubber match, but if you at least win one, it's
respectable.
It's fine. It's fine.
Hopefully not.
Couple other notes that I had was just that Trouba starting to kind of look like himself again. Definitely seems to have regained some confidence, couple goals, a lot of assists here and there. So still has a lot of work to do, still has a lot to prove, but definitely seeing a jump in his game. And not really a big point anymore because he's playing tonight, but Hedl got very late hit against I forget who hit him, but during the Chicago game, there was no fine or anything they looked into after, but it was clearly just like a late hit. He did not have the puck on a stick for like 3 seconds. No call on the ice either, which sucked, and he left the game after that. A lot of people were worried might have been a concussion type thing, but I think he just had maybe some soreness in his shoulders or whatever, his chest. But, you know, he skated this morning. He's playing right now, so dodged a bullet there, which I'm happy to see. But, but yeah, I think we covered pretty much everything.
There's really not much going around the league. I mean, the top guys are still leading the league in points. McDavid, Thompson, Draisaitl, Robertson. Goals are kind of the same guy.
A couple, like, I guess like the one big thing was out of the 32 thoughts, just in terms of like some trade rumors and stuff. Apparently Ottawa's looking into maybe a Seth Jones trade.
I
don't know why. Don't really know why they would do that, but
they need defense so bad. I mean,
they do, but it's just such a bad contract.
Bring back Eric. I don't know how they would do it, but please bring back Eric Carlson. I would love that.
Oh man, that'd be savage. But yeah, I mean, like Jones, he's just not very good, and it's just a ton of money. So I don't really know.
I think he's got like six or seven years
after this. Because that contract just kicked in last season, so it's I think 6 years after this season ends. So tough there, but
another trade candidate. Just on the topic, I don't know how they would do it because we have so many centers, but future Islander. I said that correctly, Bo Horvat.
Yeah,
he's a blue guy.
There are a lot of guys who on the Canucks right now that I think are on the block. Like I've heard Horvat, I've heard Miller potentially, even though he just re-signed there. I heard
that was a terrible idea by them. They should have traded his ass.
It was bad. Besser is up there.
That guy's.
Not sure what's going on there, but they're looking
good.
Yeah, the Rangers are just pinned in their zone right now, man.
Apparently they offered Horvat, according to Friedman or whatever it was, he reported secondhand, less money than he's making now per year, which is nuts. I mean, the guy's got like 20 goals already this year, and he had a bunch of goals last year. I would love him on the Islanders, but I don't know how they would pull it off.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
And then like one other thing that came out of that was that apparently a team was looking into trading for Tage Thompson
for a fifth round pick
like 2 years ago for like a fifth rounder and then just couldn't pull the trigger. And apparently it was a good team. no one knows who it was, but I was watching a video today and this guy, he was like, I would have to assume it might have been like Pittsburgh, Washington, Tampa, Boston. It's got to be like one of those teams.
Some team that knows their stuff probably.
Yeah, so like, I don't know.
Who knows if it happens? Who knows if it happens and he explodes like this somewhere else?
Though. Exactly. Yeah.
It's all hearsay.
I think Yzerman wasn't on the Lightning anymore at that point. I think he had left to go to Detroit. I think 2019 is when he went to Detroit. So I don't think he would have been he would have been in, but that seems like a very, very much like an Yzerman type move. Like
For sure. And it's also kind of like, didn't they just sign Thompson to like a 50, it was like 7 years by like $56 million extension. Like somebody saw it coming. Somebody really saw it coming. And I have to respect whoever that was. I don't know if it was after his 30 goal season or if it was the year before, but I mean, great call by them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I guess we can move on to the guess that player portion of the show. I think I went first last week. So Kevin, lead us.
This is terrible because it's just such a dead giveaway. I'll give you the first five and then the sixth is pretty easy. This player has been in trade rumors recently. Of course, he played college hockey in North Dakota. He grew up in Minnesota, makes just under $6 million a year. And almost won the Calder in 2018 with 29 goals and 55 points in 62 games.
2018 Calder winner. All right, let me see.
College hockey in North Dakota, grew up in Minnesota, just under $6 million a year, and in trade rumors recently.
All right, yeah, I gotta think who's been on the block. So he was drafted in 2017.
Well, he almost won the Calder in 2018. He wasn't necessarily drafted in 2017.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Who? Oh, fuck, I know I'm trying.
He lost the Calder to Matt Barzal.
Oh fuck!
People were very upset about that. At least in some city.
Oh my god! Who fucking trade room?
After our trade rumor segment.
I know. I'm trying to think who's been on the block. I have the worst fucking memory. I can't remember. I cannot remember anything that happened pre-2020.
I can tell you he's in the Pacific Division.
I almost said a guess, but I'm like, no, that can't possibly be this guy because he's not American. Fuck. He's in the Pacific. Okay, hold on. Let me.
You're going to be kicking yourself too, man.
I know. That's the worst part. All right, I'm trying to think Pacific teams. Got Vancouver. Couldn't have been Seattle. Got San Jose, the Kings, the Ducks, the Yotes. Who played? I have no idea. I'm literally.
He's a Canuck.
He is a Canuck. God damn it.
We mentioned him in our segment. It's not the captain.
Oh, did we? Is it Besser?
It's Brock Besser.
I was like,
it was a very good question. I thought you were going to get it as soon as I said the trade rumor one.
That's what I thought, but I'm also just like, there's been a lot of rumors going on, so I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
who... naturally.
I'm like, oh man, I'm trying to think. Yeah, that was bad.
He's pretty young. He's younger than people, I guess, think.
He's I think like my age, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like I think 25, 26. Cool. All right, so for me, hold on 1 second.
I'm just going to write down the clues on my phone. I'm not looking up anything.
He was the 15th pick in the 2014 draft. Made his NHL debut in October 9th, 2015, and then an assist and a goal that game.
Oh, man.
He made the All-Big Ten freshman team, the All-Big Ten first team, and won Big Ten Freshman of the Year, all in the same year, 2015. Won gold for the U18 team in 2014. And his nickname is D-Boss.
D-Boss? What the
hell? Dollar sign for the S's. I do have one more clue, but it's the dead giveaway.
Okay, don't give it to me. I was thinking Kyle Connor originally, but I remember it was 2015. D boss. So his name's got to be like a D or something, right? 2014. Oh, God. That draft was so crap. That draft was terrible. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of like, oh, this is impossible.
It's crazy that Aaron Ekblad, because I was looking at that draft, Ekblad went first, and I'm like, that's insane that he's only 1 year older than me.
Yeah, let alone Draisaitl that went third. Like, I can remember that. It's just once it gets to the middle, it's so fuzzy because everything happens. He's an American that was drafted early and made the league quick. His name is D. Boss. What the
hell? Yeah, he foregoed his final 3 years of commitment at this university.
This guy's good. Whoever it is, this guy is good. Oh, man. I literally can't think of anybody with a name like D in it for some reason.
God damn it.
2-1 Penguins.
Yeah, power play goal again.
Damn. Oh, man. D-Boss. That's really throwing me for a loop. D-Boss. That's like what I'm so focused on. You said 2014 or 2015?
For what? When he was drafted?
Yeah.
Drafted in 2014. Freshman in college, 2014-15. So won all those accolades in the 2015 and then made his pro debut later in the year.
I literally cannot stop thinking about, like, Kyle Connor. Big Ten. Okay, this is what should help me. The freaking Big Ten. It's Michigan, Ohio State. Ohio State doesn't have anybody. Michigan State. It's got to be one of those two. Oh, is it Dylan Larkin?
It is Dylan Larkin.
Oh, I was so unfocused on the Big Ten. That was such a easy, not easy, but that was actually pretty difficult, but. The Big Ten.
The last clip was he's a big part of the Iser plan.
Oh man, that was tough. That was a good one. Hey, we're
just
the young American route.
You know what? I was looking around and I was like, I did the Metro. I've done the Pacific. I did the Central, and I'm like, I have not done the Atlantic yet.
And then I'm looking
at teams, and I was like, all right, who can I go with? And I was like, let's go with Detroit.
I literally just like whatever player pops in my head first. I figure who I picked today. It was somebody that had like the worst Wikipedia page ever, and I just could not do it. But
that's the worst thing. It's like the players I've been picking, the Wikipedia has been very like,
I know, bare bones.
Like that all that Big Ten stuff. I'm like, yeah, that this is like the most I'm gonna get out of.
Yeah, it's, I forget who my first one was. Whoever I picked first had a great Wikipedia page. Gave me too much hope. But after that, it's been crap. But good one. All right, good episode. We'll see what happens on Thursday. You know, lots on the line as always. But yeah, Merry Christmas to all.
Happy holidays, everyone. Enjoy it.
Spend time with your family, friends, cats, dogs, who all listen to this podcast, of course.
Pretty much, yeah. Make sure you listen to the pod. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcasting platform you use. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Anchor app, if you want to just listen to us directly. Anywhere you can get podcasts, we are there. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and write us a nice review. It's the holidays, our Christmas. What we're asking for Christmas is for a nice, some nice ratings and reviews. If you haven't done so, you know, make sure you go ahead and do that and lob us a follow on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. We've been tweeting on there recently.
We've been doing good.
Someone that I don't know why I went back and forth with someone this week.
You got a little heated.
It was just like a moronic take by someone that like, I'm like, you don't have any followers. You don't have the egg avatar. And I was just like, why am I even doing this? I just blocked them and then just deleted everything. I'm like, I don't know why I entertained this. But like, I know I'm in the right. And this is just some guy in his basement that like clearly just thinks he knows everything. When in reality, the point I was making wasn't that like far-fetched. I just said Hayek and Harper suck. And he's like, they don't. And I'm like, he's like, you're not fucking watching. I'm like, no, I am. Like, that's why I say they suck. Cause like they suck.
You know, Ben Harper is the best defenseman in the NHL. Come on now.
Exactly. But yeah, no, make sure you're doing all that good stuff. Everyone have a nice holiday. If you celebrate Hanukkah, hope night 3 or night 4 is everything you imagined it would be. You know, if you celebrate Christmas, hopefully you get everything that you want, but you weren't too greedy. And yeah, make sure you do all the stuff we said, and have a happy holiday. Kevin, anything else?
Said it perfectly.
All right. We potentially will see everyone next week, but if we don't, have a happy new year. We'll see you in the new year. And yeah, peace.